I want to welcome everyone back for our worship this evening. We're grateful you're here. And we want to, a brief announcement as we begin. Forgotten to be announced this morning that Bertina and TJ are away at the Daughters of Virtue camp, the ladies' camp out in Indiana. So that is where they are tonight, explaining their absence. And actually, that ties into our lesson this evening. I want to think about a question tonight that is particularly pertinent to our young people, especially those who have gone to camps already this summer or who will be going to camps this summer. But it hits a deeper question that I really think affects all of us and is important for us to think about as we think about our work together as a group of believers, particularly as a congregation. And the question I want to ask tonight is, should church be more like camp? This is something that has been interesting to me through the years of being involved with camp since I was a young man. Different kinds of camps, some that are more spiritually focused, some that are more recreationally focused and have Bible classes. But a lot of times, the kids who attend these camps will come home and to their local congregations and just be kind of discouraged because they come back from a very energetic and spiritually focused week. And then they look around and they're like, well, this isn't like camp, you know, and this isn't as exciting to me as I think church should be. And really, what we're going to be talking about tonight is really a question of contentment on one level, and really also a question of how we view local congregations and what they should be like. We've talked a little bit last year in some of our sermons about the challenge of expectations and just how much our feeling, our perception about something can be molded by our expectations. And I think that's really what this lesson kind of boils down to as we think about that, is what are our expectations for a local congregation? Should it be more like camp? Should it be more like something else? And this is one of the challenges I think we all have to some extent when we face the reality of working with any group of people. Is there's going to be disappointed expectations, there's going to be things that are different. So we want to think about this particularly from the angle of coming out of a camp that's really spiritually focused and some of the questions we ask about that, but also with some broader principles. So we're going to talk about two things tonight. Some ways that church can't be like camp, this is not possible, and some ways that church can be more like camp, but really ask the question, is it being more like camp, or is it being more like something else that we all should be being more like? So let's think about those two questions tonight and open our Bibles together. Some ways that church can't be more like camp, because let's face it, all of life is not going to be, going to camp, so to speak. And look with me in Philippians chapter 4, because I think this is really the bottom line of this question, is we cannot always choose our environment. There's a lot of things that we can control, but there are a lot of things that are out of our control. And Paul realized that when he was stuck in prison, as he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi. And there is, I'm sure, a lot of things that Paul would like to have changed about that, but things that Paul could not change about his circumstances. So let's read together Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Paul writes, and he says, "Not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." And Philippians 4:13 is one of those verses that it's kind of easy to take out of context sometimes and put it, in the football locker room, hey, we can do all things, and just kind of apply it to like any circumstance where there's sports or whatever else that is. But what Paul is talking about here is he can live in any circumstance because it's Christ that strengthens him. He can do anything, whether he has a lot, whether he has a little, whether things are going well, whether things are awful, because Jesus is with him in all of those circumstances. And it's interesting to think about Paul having been in those circumstances. He's writing from a perspective, kind of like when Brother Bingham was talking with us about Peter, how he was in a particularly good position to be writing about suffering because he himself had succumbed to some of that suffering and denied Christ, but then had gotten back up and had kept going. Paul, similarly, you think about the course of Paul's life, spans a pretty wide span of really being on top of the world in some ways. When Paul writes just in the previous chapter of Philippians about his previous position in Judaism, how he's progressing beyond everybody else, and he was a Hebrew of Hebrews of the tribe of Benjamin, and just describes he knew how to abound in terms of things of the world and have a lot and be well supplied in every way. And at this point in his life, he had been through a lot. You go read 2 Corinthians 11 and see about him spending a day and night in the deep and being stoned and beaten and shipwrecked and all the things that he had gone through. He knew what it was to abound, and he knew what it was to be abased, how to have prosperity and desperate need. And so when Paul writes and says, listen, your contentment is not based on your circumstances. He's writing from a perspective to know what he's talking about. And to cover whatever our life circumstances may be, no matter how well things are going for us right now, and no matter how difficult things might be for us right now. And I think it's interesting as we think about prosperity and need, and while being in need, whether it's a physical need or a spiritual need or an emotional need or something in your family or whatever it is, how difficult it is to really be without some of the basics of life. A lot of times, if you look at the history of the nation of Israel, for instance, when was it harder for them to be on track with their serving God? Was it when they were in abundance? Or was it when they were in some need? You look at the book of Judges, and over again, it's when they were doing the best with things around them that they became spiritually complacent. They forgot the Lord who gave those things, and they just kept going farther and farther into apostasy. I heard once expressed this way, adversity hath killed its thousands, and prosperity its 10,000s. I thought that was a thoughtful way to put that. That again, Paul has learned the secret of being able to abound in both of those things. And in some ways, it's harder to abound spiritually when we're in those mountaintop moments. And so a camp atmosphere may not actually be what's best for us in the long run spiritually. But again, we're going to talk about there's a time for each of those things. So again, we cannot always choose our environment. Paul shows us that's not what these things are based on. So let's just take it for just a moment about this idea of things that happen at camp versus things that happen at church. And we're going to use the term church here accommodatively to talk about just being in a local group of Christians. Because, of course, the church is God's people, whenever and wherever they are. But here, more specifically, thinking about the local congregation. Of course, at a camp, pretty much all of these camps have an age limit on them. So it's a concentration of young people in one place. And that just usually happen. You don't usually have a congregation where you come home and it's like all young people, and a few counselors here and there, but mostly people who, might be around your age if you're a young person going to camp. Because, of course, in a local congregation, you're going to have a mixture of all sorts of ages, which is really a cool thing when you think about it, that we have people at different points of their Christian walk all in one place at the same time, so that when you're going through something, you're both in a position to look ahead kind of at a slice of someone else's walk. Now remember, our walks are not all going to be the same, like John or Peter, who's like, well, what about this man, with John and what was going to happen to him? We're going to have different struggles, different things, but we can benefit a lot from the different walks in Christ that are around us. And we also have people who are behind us, who are coming to be where we are, who we can be showing an example to and be able to reach out to them and help them. Of course, at camp, you're taking a week out of your life, and there are no real pressing responsibilities at camp. Of course, there are things you're expected to do, follow the rules and such. But you're not worried about, homework, and you're not worried about your job and all these other things. And that makes camp a really nice place to be, because for a week, you're just kind of free from all the other distracting things, and you can really focus on being together with other people and studying the word of the Lord. And of course, in a local congregation, all of these things are just mixed right in with daily life. Sometimes you're coming in on a Wednesday night after a really long day, and it's hard to focus, whereas being at camp, you're around a lot of people who are excited, and everyone's there for that purpose. So realistically, it's not going to be the same, where you suddenly drop all of life's responsibilities and focus on something versus something that God gives us just throughout the week to be strengthening us, but sometimes we're really tired, and it's harder to feel the same way that we feel when we're at camp. And of course, often at camp, there's high energy, there's high emotion. Some of that comes from the fact that it's a lot of young people at camp who have a lot of energy and a lot of high emotions at that stage of life. And of course, there's going to be a range of emotion and energy within any local congregation. And I want to make sure that we understand that when you look around, because I remember talking with some people, and it's like, you know, I go back to my church at home, and I look around during the singing, and everyone's just kind of, you know, sitting there. No one's really caring about what they're singing. You can tell they're not even thinking about it or something. We need to be very careful not to judge other people by what we see on the outside in any given worship service. Now, I think there's a place to be energetic, and that can be encouraging, but you don't know what's going on in their heart, and they don't know what's going on in your heart. And I'll point out that if we get to a point where we sit in the middle of a church service and we're so busy thinking about, man, this is so dead, like no one here cares and stuff, do you realize what's happening with you at that moment? Is instead of focusing on worshiping the Lord and rejoicing in Him, you're sitting there judging your brethren. And you're not doing, you know, they might look at you and you're emoting, but you're not focused anymore on the Lord either. So the answer to that is not to, oh, get so discouraged by what's going on around you. The first thing is to remember, you don't know what's going on around you. And they may have a lot better understanding of what they're singing and what they're doing than you do. And it's each individual's responsibility to focus on their worship and to focus on the offering that they're bringing to the Lord. And there's a lot of different distractions that can happen in the worship service. This morning was my first time with a small child for the whole service. And so I was learning a lot about like what a lot of you have been through. And bless you, those of you who take care of young children through church service. Because it's hard to focus. There's a lot going on there. And the child was really good this morning. So there's a lot I still have to learn about that. But the point being, you don't know what's going on in someone else's mind. And our purpose when we come together is to focus on the Lord and to focus on how we can be building other people up and not just on seeing a lack of things in people around us. And of course, at camp, you're spending almost all your time with other people who are Christians or who are going to be Christians or are striving to do things God's way. Whereas in the midst of a local congregation, you're coming out of that, out of the midst of a week with the world, you know, whether it's at school or you're at work, and it's just not everyone's trying to do the same thing. There's a lot of different competing things, and even sometimes within a local group, you know, there are people who are stronger and people who are weaker, where you may be around a lot stronger people at camp. But we need to realize that that's where God wants us to be, is that if we all, you know, think about this for a minute. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, you remember the passage about the armor of the Lord. We talk about be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. If you had an army, and this army, you know, they were so good about their training, and they would take, you know, different times of the year, and they would get together, and they would just train so hard, and they would show each other how to put on their armor and how the armor worked and, you know, polish their armor and make it really look good. And they practice their marching in formation, you know, and as they're marching and they get really excited about that, they enjoy, you know, the sound of everybody together. And, you know, they would just do all these things focused on getting to be better and preparing for the fight. But if the army never goes out against the enemy in the field, and they might not, they may have to break ranks, they may have to scatter, and they might be isolated at some points, and they might face different trials, and this group over here might face a different trial than this group over here, and they go out into battle. If they never face that, they might look really nice, they might march really nice, they might sing some good battle songs together, but unless they're in the battle, it doesn't really do much good to get together, does it? And that's kind of what these camps are, kind of like, you know, the Gettysburg weekend or, you know, our Bible forum or our gospel meeting. You know, there's times where we take extra time to regroup and to focus together. And really, isn't that true every week when we come together or when it's in the middle of the week? We need that time training together to do better in the battle. But if all we ever did was spend time at camp and you'll be around other Christians and, oh, that's great, what kind of army would we be? We wouldn't be anywhere near what the Lord wants us to be, because it's when we face temptation and it's when we face trials and disappointment and people telling us things that we have a hard time answering, that's when we grow. And again, it's the same thing for the soldiers, the same thing for the Christian. And of course, on the other end of things, we need to be getting together. It's possible for us to kind of go to the other end of things and think, I'm fine on my own, and I don't need to be at all the different services or all the different things. You know, I can just fight and fight and fight, and I don't really need to recharge. Well, that's exactly what some of these Hebrew Christians were thinking in the book of Hebrews, is they were being tempted, but they were thinking, I can make it on my own. And so Paul reminds them in Hebrews chapter 10 that you need the recharge time. You need one another to make it through the fight. And he says there in Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So it's the same as the opposite. It's good that we have these weeks together. As Scott mentioned this morning, they're tremendously helpful. I look back to my life, my junior, senior year of high school, and the times I went to Sewell's camp for the first time. And those were formative weeks of my life. To see the example of the other Christians there and to take the strength from that, that was so helpful to me when I went back and I had just moved to Virginia and I was alone. You know, me and my brother were the only Christians I knew of in a school of 1,700 kids. And I needed those weeks. It was really, really helpful. But we need to see that from both ends, is that if we're all training and no fighting, well, that's no good. And if we're all fighting and no training, that's no good either. We need both to complement each other and really be what the Lord wants us to be. So just looking at this, there are some things that the local congregation can't be, and we need to realize that. If our expectations when we come home from camp are like way up here for our local churches, I'm not saying we just like don't hold each other to a standard, but we need to have realistic expectations for any local group of Christians. And the bulk of the lesson tonight, I want to focus on, in some ways, church can be more like camp. Now, when we say that, I want to define this as we kind of go in. What is it really about camps that we find so encouraging and find so helpful and find so invigorating spiritually? It's really the kind of things that the Lord wants us to be doing in local congregations. It's the thing that the Lord wants us to be doing on a personal level, day in and day out. So as we talk about this, the goal is not to just make church more like camp, but to bring the spiritual disciplines that God wants us to have, that we focus on at camp, and make those more a part of our day-to-day life. And that doesn't mean that it's going to look more like camp all the time, but it means that we're going to be getting the kind of encouragement we get at camp on a regular basis. And one of the things that's most encouraging about those times, isn't it, is that we are with other Christians. We're with other people, whether they're our age or whether they're older than us or whether they're younger than us, but we're with people who are trying to get to the same goal. And that is just so refreshing when you spend all your time in the world and you're around people that you might share a job with, you might share a class with, you share some superficial things together, some interests or whatever. But you know when you're around somebody and you just don't share those fundamental things of life, the perspective with which you see everything. And it's just, it wears you out when you're around people like that all the time. And we need other Christians to make it through this life. And it's important for us to remember that just like, you know, getting together with other Christians on a large scale when you're around at a camp and there's lots of other young people from lots of other places that you don't get to see very much and you're catching up with everybody, there are ways to do those kinds of things on a regular basis. Because, again, this is a fact of some local congregations. There are some congregations that are going to have more young people. There are some congregations that are going to have older people. And just like it's a challenge to be a young person in a congregation of mostly older people, it can be a challenge to be an older person in a congregation of mostly younger people. And it can be a challenge just if, you know, there's lots of older and younger, but there's nobody kind of around your age and like your demographic. But the thing about that is when we come together in the Lord, even if we don't share maybe the same job or the same class or the same, you know, even the same race or the same whatever, we share the Lord. And when we come together with a group of people, whatever age, that's where we can find the real strength. And the word that I'm looking for is escaping my mind right now. The fortitude that we need to make it through from day to day. And so you read about the early church. Look briefly with me in Acts chapter 2, and thinking about the early group of believers. And of course, they were going to face a lot of trying times in the not too distant future. But this is what happened. After there were the 3,000 that obeyed the gospel on that first day, I just love to come back to this passage. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. Think about the daily picture of these Christians. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's a sense in which this was kind of a camp-like experience for the early Christians, wasn't it? This is like when the first day when it all started, and Peter stands up and there's the mighty rushing wind and the tongues of fire and just the visual audio. You're blown away with what you're seeing and hearing, all the languages and things that are going on. And there's 3,000 people who are now following Jesus in Jerusalem. And it is an exciting time. And one of the things that they were doing is they were constantly together and constantly in one another's homes. I think we see two types of breaking bread in this passage. They're devoting themselves to the breaking of bread, I believe the Lord's Supper in verse 42. But they're also taking their meals together there in verse 46, breaking bread in their homes together. They were always together, and that's what we need to do, because these Christians, a lot of them are going to be scattered come chapter 8 of the book of Acts. But they were going to go everywhere preaching the word, and they were going to keep getting together and having this kind of vibrant life wherever they would have been. They wouldn't always have favor with all the people, but they would have other Christians, other disciples that they were making. So it's important for us to find ways to spend time with other Christians. And sometimes we have to seek these opportunities. It doesn't just happen automatically. Like the Lord says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock, the door will be open. We need to seek opportunities to be with other Christians. And we're kind of in the midst of what we might call a gospel meeting season right now. And there's lots of different opportunities right now, whether it's camps or whether it's gospel meetings, where you can go and be with other young people. You can go and be with other Christians in general to be growing in those ways. And there are times where if you look around and you think, well, there aren't enough opportunities to do this or do that, you can create more opportunities and invite people and be proactive in providing for what you see there might be a lack of. And that's so important as we look at all this, is to think more in terms of what we can give and not so much in terms of what we're getting. And if you see something that's lacking, instead of kind of moping around about it and be like, I wish this was more like camp, well, take initiative and try to fill that gap. And again, not all those things are possible on a congregational level, but a lot of the things that we need are possible. And it takes some initiative, it takes some thought as to consider how to stir one another up to love and to good works. If you're in a worship service and you notice that it's kind of dead or it's not as lively as maybe you think it should be, one of the things you need to do is bring some energy to that. Energy can be contagious if you're in any group of people. In Psalm 103 in verse 1, this is just one example of many. I really wish we could have seen David worship. It's one of those things that we have recorded for us, the words of the songs. But when it talks about David dancing before the Lord with all his might, or just in general, when David was in the assembly, when they're singing those songs of ascent on the way up to Jerusalem, to think about what that would have looked like. And to think about that they put themselves into that. And Psalm 103 in verse 1, David wrote, we don't know who wrote this one. 103, yes, of David, sorry. Verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. A lot of times we get out of worship what we put into worship. And if we come to a place like this, and we're just hoping that everyone's going to give to us so that we'll just be injected. Sometimes that's supposed to happen. But when it's not happening, we need to focus on giving more into coming together. And when we do that, it's amazing how much more you immediately get out of it. I've noticed that with my singing. I've noticed that with my praying. I've noticed that with a lesson, is the more you decide, I don't care what everybody around me is doing, I'm going to focus on the Lord, how much immediately it just gets better. And it's just true of so many things in life. If we are willing to put forth effort, we will receive so much more from doing that. And of course, one of the things we love about camp and being together is the time devoted to Bible study and the time devoted to prayer. Some camps have times like that where you have prayers and you do some prayers together, some prayers in smaller groups, some prayers by yourself. And I think that's one of the hardest spiritual disciplines to keep up. And it's one of the ones that is really encouraging. I know when I get together, I remember when I went to leadership camp growing up, it was the prayer time in the morning. It wasn't actually scheduled, but it was like guys would be getting their showers and stuff. And then you'd have a room, one of the classrooms, and one of the teachers would say, hey, you know, at whatever, like 7:15 in the morning, and sometimes you have to get up extra early to do that, we're just going to get together and we're just going to pray for like 45 minutes. And it's just whoever wants to, it's voluntary, you know, and we'd get together. And man, those were some of my favorite camp memories, because you're just listening to other people pour their hearts out to the Lord, you're pouring your heart out to the Lord, and you know everyone wants to be there doing that. And it helps us so much if we're willing to put in the extra effort to develop those disciplines at home. And it's going to take a lot more effort, because at camp, it's like, okay, you be here at this time, everyone else is going to be here at this time. And sometimes when you're trying to make a new habit, it's helpful to ask other people to do it with you. But it's going to take a lot more effort at home to get up early in the morning and before you go to work or before you go to school to take that time. But the rewards will pay dividends spiritually, if we're willing to make that effort. Paul wrote to Timothy and was talking about, of course, some specific things to him being an evangelist, but I think in general some things that are very applicable to all of us as Christians. But what he says in verse 15 is he's talking about devoting himself to the reading of Scripture and to being with other Christians. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Some translations say, take pains with these things. Is the idea of these disciplines aren't easy, but they are worth it. The things that are easy at camp might be harder at home, but they're the same things we need to do. Sometimes camp can help get us a jump start on those things, can it? It's get us more focused on the benefits of focused prayer, the benefits of daily study. But we're going to have to work if we're going to make church more like camp, so to speak. One recommendation on this is to get recordings of lessons, get recordings of hymns. You can have some really good teaching with you almost all the time. There's some really good resources online for free. If you are wanting more of the Word and maybe you're not sure about how to do your own study right now, there are some really good places that you can go and be nourished on a good diet of good spiritual teaching. And also be rejoicing with other hymns. I mean, it's good to sing by yourself, but it's also nice sometimes if you can sing along with a recording or whatever and enjoy the harmony of that, and to get those songs stuck in your head instead of some of the garbage that's on the radio. Is find ways to fill your life with these good spiritual things. One of the other things that I think is one of the things I hear a lot of people talk about as the thing that they enjoy so much about camp that they don't see when they come home, it's like everyone's just so open with each other at camp. Everyone is just like sharing their struggles and being really open and honest. And man, you just feel like you're so connected with everybody because, you know, everyone's opening up about how difficult things are for them, and you're getting help for the things that you do. You're not just having a pity party and saying, oh, I'm bad. Oh, you think you're doing bad. Well, listen to... No, that's not helpful. But that is one of the things that's most helpful, is when we're open with one another and can see that we're all in this struggle together. When you come into an assembly like this, it's really easy. You know, we're all wearing our Sunday clothes, and the short conversations we might have here in the building, there may not be time or the place to get into some of the things that you have time to get into at camp, where you're really opening up and saying, hey, could you pray for me about this? Because I've been struggling with this, and I need your encouragement. Could you pray for me about this or whatever? And we need to find ways to do that. And it may not be that we have a confessional service or whatever. We all get together and do that. Because there are some things that we are willing to share with just a few other Christians that can really help us and help keep us accountable for those things. But the local congregations is where that should be going on as well. It's not just for those times at camp. And as James wrote to the Christians and says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. We have to be willing ourselves to open up to other people, to seek that openness, that relationship, that closeness that allows you to do that. And we also need to be willing to seek out other people who may need that help, those who need encouragement, and not just, again, focus on, oh, I need this encouragement, I need this openness right now, but we need to look out for others. And so many times when we start to reach out and help people, a lot of times you will find the encouragement and the help that you are needing so much of the time. Hebrews 3 and verse 13, you remember, he says that we need to encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Camp is only like a week usually, right? And the year is like 51 other weeks of the year. And sin can can really harden us over that time. So we need to be taking those things that help break up our hardness at camp and be doing that more often. Be finding those ways to keep our hearts soft, to keep ourselves fervent, to keep that flame burning so that we can serve the Lord. And again, I think the bottom line here is what Jesus said, or Paul quoted Jesus as saying in Acts 20. Where he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so many times I think when we come home from another place, or and just in general, when we are discontent in our life, chances are we're focused more on receiving than we are on giving. And I think that's the question that we need to ask ourselves is how can I, if I'm going to camp this summer, how can I give when I come home? If I'm going to be at a camp, how can I give when I'm there? If I'm in a local congregation where I feel very content with the people around me, how can I give to them? If I'm in a local congregation where I feel lonely and I feel like nobody cares about me, how can I give? How can I reach out? And if everybody's thinking in terms of giving, then it's very likely that we'll be receiving what we need to receive as well. And it's so important that we remember the words of Paul that we started this lesson with, that with Christ, we can be content in whatever state that we are in, because it is Christ who strengthens us. I hope we've been challenged to think about ourselves tonight and to think about our contentment. If you're here tonight and you need to respond to the gospel by repenting of your sins, and really that's the crux of the matter, isn't it? So I've heard some people say that if someone is, you know, refusing to be baptized, if they're refusing to be buried, they're not really dead yet. And the idea is that if you are here tonight and you've been thinking about that and you maybe need to make that step in your life tonight, the question is, are you ready to repent? Are you ready to turn your life over to the Lord and make Him not only your Savior, but make Him your King? As we sang at the invitation this morning, to Christ, my Savior and my King. And if you're here tonight and you've gotten, maybe you're discontent, maybe you've been focused more on receiving than giving, and you need to reach out, and you need to ask for some help, ask for some prayers with that. And maybe there's something you need to make right with the Lord or with other people here. If there's any way that we can help you to be more what the Lord wants you to be, please come to the front while we stand and while we sing.